Guys, we're trying something a little fun and new. We had such a good time during our VR episode interacting with our listeners and getting their best definitely dying stories that we want to ask you guys to share any stories you have with us. So if you have any stories about either thinking you were sick and being wildly wrong, or actually getting sick, or a wild injury story. Basically, if you have any stories you would tell at a party, if it was a party full of people who didn't mind a downer story, give us a call at our Definitely Dying hotline. The number is 323-388-3879. I'll repeat it. And that's 323-388-3879. And you can leave your story on a little Google Voice answering machine. Yeah. And maybe we'll feature it on the show.
Yeah. Wouldn't that be fun?
Wouldn't that be fun? Hello, I'm Madeline Walter.
And I'm Ben Axelrad. And we're both hypochondriacs.
I think I'm sick when I'm not.
And anytime I'm sick, I think I'm a goner for sure.
Welcome to Definitely Dying, the podcast about health concerns, both real and imagined.
Because it's better to laugh about it together than cry about it alone.
I have a runny nose and an ingrown hair. And
my knee hurts.
My armpit kind of rush. Is that a rash? Out and I had Asian food and that makes me feel kind of sick. I might be lactose intolerant. I got a thing on the side of my ear.
I haven't cried in 3 years.
Welcome back to Definitely Dying, folks. We have a different episode for you today. As it turns out, Madeline's not here. Madeline no-showed. I don't know where she is. She's somewhere out in the world. She may be in trouble. We considered stopping the podcast to form a search party and decided, hey, the show must go on. And no, that's not true. Madeline is on assignment, I guess we'll say. She's in Mexico. She's
in the field.
She's working her butt off in the field, And she's, we're not allowed to say where she is, but I will say that she's she is doing something that would fall in the category of living her destiny. And at some point in the future, hopefully, she'll tell you about it. And if not, maybe it'll pop up on your television screen. And I feel like Madeline's already mad at me, and I've already said too much.
She's orbiting around the earth as we speak.
Yeah. And she's doing it for you, the loyal listeners. So that voice that you've been hearing is a very special guest host that we have for today. We thought to ourselves, hey, every once in a while we'll get somebody in this room that feels like a third host, even though they're the guest. And we just so happen to have one of those people in the room today.
Hi, I'm Jessica Walter, Madeline Walter's sister.
Is that the name of the lady who played the mom on Arrested Development?
Yeah. Yeah.
We have Jessica Walter here today.
The character Jessica Walter. That would be my nightmare.
We're not doing improv here today. This is all scripted. Every word that's come out of our mouths has been scripted. No, our guest is from NBC's Powerless. It's Jenny Pearson.
Hi.
Thank you, Jenny, for co-hosting alongside me.
Thank you for having me. I'm very excited to ask multiple questions.
Yeah, no, I'm excited to hear these questions, and our guest will be too. I think we won't introduce him just yet because he's not here, and
he's also orbiting in space.
He's orbiting, and he's after Madeline right now. He's trying to bring Madeline back into our atmosphere. And
metaphorically,
yeah. Literally metaphorically. And what's been going on with you, Jenny, since we last saw you?
Well, what has been going on? I started a new therapist.
Oh, yeah?
I know when I was on this podcast last, we were talking about therapy, and I had not been going to one, and I was like hounding you both about you should go to therapy.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I thought I better do that, and I did. I started going, and it's great.
I really
love it. Yeah.
So
just gone a couple of times.
Yeah.
And it's really cathartic.
Yeah. So, what inspired you to want to go to this one this time? Was there something specific going on in your life, or do you just felt like you wanted to be talking to somebody?
Yeah, just like a resurgence of anxiety, I'm sure, as we all have every now and again. Like, oh, something's going on. I'm feeling crazy.
Yeah,
or
yeah.
Or a little aimless. I'm sort of, I don't have a job right now.
Yeah.
I don't, sometimes if I don't have an audition or something that day, then I don't really know what to do. And it's just, I'm feeling a little aimless.
Yeah, I hear that.
And then sort of feeling guilty because then I'm like, well, I should go feed the homeless people or go volunteer somewhere, and I'm not. So I'm also aimless and a bad person. So, you know, just starting to feel the weight of that.
Yeah, yeah. I actually have been thinking about therapy myself lately. It's been a really long time for me.
Right.
And I had like a little catharsis myself involving this is not the kind of thing I usually bring up on the podcast, but I'm going to do it here today. Yeah. I feel like I brought up some things in your episode that I typically don't talk about.
Yeah, you said that.
And then I spent
it makes me feel very good.
No,
I'll be honest.
One of the things we had talked about, it was a cathartic experience for both of us and Madeline as well. So cathartic she had to leave and go to space to orbit our very Earth.
Just to see what this whole thing is about.
That's her therapy. She's making sense of the world, of the universe, in the universe.
I mean, one day there could be like astrotherapy.
Yeah.
Like around.
I would really be in for some
weightlessness.
Astrotherapy. Yeah.
Right? People do sensory deprivation?
That is
have
a thing.
Have you done that?
No, I have never.
I feel like you've done every type of
I've tried a lot of them.
Yeah.
But no. A lot of the nouveau stuff I haven't tried. I sort of fell out of the game when I was heavy in the psychology game during like the Ritalin lithium kind of years.
Yeah, it's like 90s.
Yeah, in the
90s. Early
90s. Yeah.
Yeah, those are harsh days for therapy.
They really were. It was not a great time to
no,
be a teenager.
It was a no man's land. Nobody really knew what they were doing.
No. And I was like right in that age group where your parents still had ultimate control over the things that you put into your body. But like I was a teenager, which meant that no one knew exactly why I was being just a complete and utter nightmare. You know, like it was probably just because I was 14 or 15 years old. But in their mind, it's like, well, no, it's because he has rapid cycling bipolar disorder or something.
Right.
It's like, I think
so they're like, we're sending you to like Fight Club therapy.
Right. Yeah.
Like,
you have a lot of good ideas for therapy.
Yeah, I do. Yeah. Okay.
Astrotherapy. Yeah.
You know what? I haven't been working right now. Maybe it's time to start a new career.
There are people from our world that went off and did that. I remember. I feel like a few years back. Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah, and it seemed to work out for some of them at least.
Yeah. Well, I think in our career there's an interest in the human psyche.
This is true.
Right. We're interested in why people do what they do.
Yeah.
And noticing those things.
Very true. Very true.
So it makes sense you would leap to therapy.
Yeah. So one of the things I noticed that I was doing was when I would come out of relationships, even a small relationship, I was gaining a lot of weight. And I started thinking that maybe I was doing it as a defense mechanism, that I was like, that it wasn't, because I wasn't feeling depression necessarily, that maybe what was happening was that like I was so afraid of the pain of breakups. This is heavy stuff for me, folks. I don't usually go here, but I've been really thinking about it a lot lately, that I was like, that I was making myself unattractive so that I could have a defense against the possibility of starting new relationships.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And I've just been thinking about it like, this is my last week in my 30s. I'm going to be 40 one week from yesterday.
Okay.
So 6 days left in my 30s.
Yeah.
And I really feel like, look, I don't think your career has to be perfect by the time you turn 40. I don't think that your relationships have to be perfect by the time you turn 40. I don't think anything has to be perfect by the time you turn 40. But I really felt like it was important to understand why I did the things that I do by the time I turned 40. And so that was like the big thing for me, was that like, maybe some of the self-sabotage, it's time to like hit up therapy once more. And I haven't gone to therapy in like a lot of years. You know,
you kind of were traumatized by therapy.
Yeah. They beat on me a little bit.
Yeah.
Not physically in most cases, but
it's like you should find somebody that's just listening, just talking like a friend.
Yeah.
You know, like that's when it's really good. It was really nice and good. Not when there's like a type of thing they're doing or something.
Right.
Or at least you don't know that they're doing that.
Yeah. So how did you learn about your therapist?
There's a website called Psychology Today, you know, the magazine,
and they have
like a big like find a therapist thing.
Oh, great.
FYI to all you people out there looking for therapists.
Psychology Today.
I don't represent that. I'm not getting paid for this.
this is an our MeUndies. This isn't stamps.com.
Yeah. Stamps.com. Yeah. Like flower delivery. .net.
What if you got your therapist from flower delivery?
Yeah, or from stamps.com.
Yeah, stamps.com. They delivered you a therapist.
My therapist is so boring. He's like a stamp.
Now back to WTF with Mark Maron.
Oh, yeah. I forgot to go on my rant for 20 minutes about stamps.
Stamp rant. So that's good, because I always wondered, like, it seems like you have to ask your friend or something like that. Like, your friend has a great therapist, and then you can't have your friend's therapist.
You can have your friend's therapist.
Yeah, I'm weirded out by it, though.
Why?
I don't know. It just feels like... I'm going to say a thing that I don't believe, but it's the first thing that came into my mind. It's sort of like you using your friend's deodorant.
Okay.
I don't think that makes sense. I don't believe it. But you know what? I don't know. It just sort of seems like that's your friend's private thing, and now you share a private thing with your friend.
But I guess, you know, therapists have many clients that they see. And so if you didn't know that that was your friend, it wouldn't even matter.
Oh, yeah. No, that would be fine. It's just that idea of like, oh, you like your therapist. Friend, like, could you give me their name and now I'll start going to them and telling them my secrets as well?
But what if it was a friend that you feel like you have similar issues or you speak the same language and they're getting a lot out of this therapist talking to them? Maybe it would be helpful.
Oh, totally. I think it really would be helpful. I think logically it makes sense. It's just... There's just something about, like, asking your friend.
You feel nervous
for their,
about it.
Maybe it's closer to, like, asking your friend if you could, like, go on a date with their girlfriend. I don't know. Like, I don't think any of these are accurate, but, like, in my head, they're like.
Those are things you don't want to do that make sense. Yeah. It makes sense you wouldn't want to use your friend's deodorant, although I've been known to do it.
Yeah.
It makes sense that you wouldn't want to date your friend's girlfriend, because bro code, dude.
Right.
it's not really the same rules. For it's like you and Madeline went to the same doctor.
That's true.
Same thing. Same
bro code. Yeah, that's our bro code.
Bro code. Go to the your bro code is go to the same doctor.
Yeah. And that was like And Madeline forced me to go to that doctor.
Oh,
like she just called one day. I was having like some symptoms and she was like, you should go to the doctor. And I was like, I'm not going to the doctor.
Yeah.
And she literally called the doctor and just set an appointment.
Oh, yeah. You need that kind of like forceful.
Yeah.
It's or you can go on that website because it's great because there's so many like search filters. So you can search for like only a female and all these things of specific issues that they deal with. You can search for that. You can search within your insurance.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and stuff like that. And then I just started like reading people's bios and just found somebody that I felt resonated with me. Their blurb resonated with me. And then it's like a process like dating.
Yeah.
Like, especially as an adult, you know, I emailed her, she emailed me back, sort of told her what she was about. And then we had like a phone conversation for 10 minutes so she could like go over her rate and then sort of talk and tell me how she does therapy and if that matches up. And then we had a session and that was sort of like almost like a trial session.
Yeah.
Like,
it really is pretty close to like Tinder.
It is.
For like psychologists.
It's dating.
Yeah. I wonder if there is an app. Like, I wonder if there's like a Grindr, Tinder.
For therapists?
Yeah.
A therapist in your area?
Yeah.
A therapist with no pubic hair?
Near you.
Yeah.
Live now.
Therapist who likes me on top. Professionally.
Yeah, professionally. Yeah. Sicko, professionally.
Sicko, perverts. We're speaking strictly professional here. No gross stuff.
Yeah. I trim my pubic hair professionally.
That might be Madeline's podcast, but not when Jenny's here.
The Jenny era has begun.
I'm never leaving this
room. You never should. We got this fourth mic here anyway.
I'll talk and talk and talk and talk forever about my problems.
Hey, that's what we're here to do. Madeline's not here. The seat's open.
Here's my question. I had a question for you.
Okay, yes.
So you said you've never done this podcast without Madeline.
Yeah.
How do you feel? Do you feel nervous about that?
Love it!
Okay, he's free, folks.
Which I really can say because there's no chance Madeline will listen. But I miss Madeline.
She hates
but,
this podcast.
She's never listened, I don't think. I haven't listened in a long time.
It's weird to listen to your own voice.
It's very weird. So maybe she will listen to this and I'm in trouble already. But I was a little... I was excited for you to be here when Madeline and I had the conversation where we had to like determine whether we knew we had to do the podcast in some form or fashion because we would run out of episodes. And so it was either like, am I doing this alone or are we finding a guest? And I was pretty anxious when I was going to have to do it alone.
Yeah.
And then when you agreed, I was excited. And I was also excited because I knew Madeline was excited and that, like, you know, because I didn't want she was excited to have you fill in for her, so then I didn't have to worry about if Madeline was mad that she was being replaced on the podcast.
Oh, man. Yeah, there's so much worry going on about each other's feelings.
There really is. We care about each other.
Yeah, that's sweet. It's like a relationship.
Yeah.
You're hosting relationships.
It is. It is. I miss her out in space.
Do you feel like you have different roles on this podcast that you used to fill?
Yeah.
Like...
she's, you know, like, one of the things that you had said early in this broadcast was that, you know, that you're inquisitive. You had a bunch of questions to ask and stuff. And I feel like Madeline is the more inquisitive. She tends to direct the conversation more. And I'm going to try to do it as much as I can today. But yeah, I think my job is more to kind of like, bring like small doses of maybe philosophy every once in a while. But like sort of like you know, like Madeline's very good at the micro stuff, and I think I'm better at like the macro stuff.
Yes.
And
yeah.
So yeah, I was a little worried to like have to dominate like the micro conversation. So I'm really glad that you're here.
Oh, good. Yeah, I have no book knowledge.
Oh, neither do I.
I feel like you do, though. The last time we were on here, you sort of knew theories of things or different ideas. And to me, it seemed like you read a lot or in this specific vein or more interested in the big ideas.
I like that it seems that way, at least. It's no, I don't. I probably don't do that much. No, Madeline's the more book smart of the two of us. And
So she's just the better half.
Yeah, she's the best.
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, she's my better half. So should we bring on the guest?
Let's bring him.
Nice. We got a great guest for you, folks. He's a good friend. He is a writer for the hilariously funny Brooklyn Nine-Nine on Fox. You've also seen his writing on Rick and Morty, Robot Chicken. He was a part of the hilarious and retired, not graduated, not murdered, retired UCB Mod Team Oh Brother. He's a good friend and a great writer, a great friend and a good writer, a great friend and a great writer.
Other? And I hardly know him at all.
He's a stranger to Jenny, even though they're neighbors. David Phillips is here.
Hi, guys. What
a thrill.
That was fun.
That was fun.
You know what? I'm happy to be here.
Yeah. Oh, good. We're happy to have you here. I'm not Madeline. No. I just want to clarify over again.
This is weird.
Although we do have a lot of similarities.
Yes.
Like amazing personalities.
Yeah.
Beautiful hair.
Yeah, those two. It's and many more.
It's easy. Yeah. I mean, it's not easy to fill the seat, but you're managing to do it.
Oh, and I'm feeling it, if you know what I mean. My butt's big.
Yeah. So anyway, David, we like to start things off the same way with all of our guests. Mm-hmm. On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you think about death?
Oh, wow. You know, I guess since I listened to the podcast, I knew that question was coming, and I still somehow wasn't prepared to answer
thinking about it.
I have not. I'm not quite sure what the number system is supposed to be. Like, 10 is just all the time, or 10 is the most you can think about it?
Yeah.
So
10, 10 means that you're thinking about it a lot, like a problem amount for sure.
I think I joke about it more than I think about it.
Okay.
And so I probably...
Wouldn't that be thinking about it?
Oh, my God. 10.
Truth in comedy. I don't know if you know where you're sitting.
Oh, my goodness.
So would you say a 10?
I know. 10 would be... That feels like, my therapist would want to know more about that than I didn't tell her about it. So
you're a danger to yourself.
I feel happy to say... I'm probably right in the 5 zone.
Okay.
Oh, that's pretty good. Yeah.
Okay.
That's not much.
Maybe I'll up it as the podcast goes on.
Well,
I'll change it as the meter. It's good to start in the middle. We'll see.
Yeah,
we're gonna take a little quiz at the end that at least claims to give you an accurate number. It's not accurate. It was written by a dum-dum, but it'll be fun to do.
Find out what character on Friends I am.
Yeah, exactly.
And you're Jasmine.
Right, you're a death-obsessed Phoebe. But so when you say five, that means that you think about it. Would you say you think about it a healthy amount of time? Like you're aware of it and you do the things that are necessary to avoid it, but you don't obsess over it? Is that basically what that means?
I would say there are times when it creeps in when it's clearly like this is not a I wish that this didn't happen, but I feel like I think about it in ways to not die.
Oh, yeah.
And
oh.
less in ways of like, oh, my God, I'm going to die.
Right,
like,
right.
Like in certain experiences, you think, how can I avoid death?
I just want to avoid death at all costs.
Oh, interesting.
And it's less of like, oh, my God, it's crippling and I'm going to die and I can't avoid it. It's more like, oh, God. And then, yes, maybe my attempts to avoid it become crippling.
Yeah.
I don't
know. What are examples of that? Yeah.
I guess like the way I put it, which is like kind of like, embarrassing is I feel like I probably fall along the line of like I am like a single woman, like a single lonely woman. It's not embarrassing if you're a single woman, but there's something like there's like, a stigma to it as a guy to like not be scared of being murdered and like someone entering your home or stalking you in a weird dark alley or something.
Yeah.
And that's why it's like that seems like a more maybe I shouldn't have said embarrassed, but it's. There's a lot of manly ways to think about death, like, that are, like, in terms of, like, I'm dark and brooding, and I crave it, or kill me, let me out of this world. And for me, I'm just like, oh, my God, please don't, like, accidentally murder me while you're going through my things in my apartment.
Right. Do you live alone?
I live alone.
And in your head, like, when have you been the most scared of a home invasion?
Yeah, there are two times. I have a very specific routine as to how I get into my apartment. And that, I feel like there's always, like, a 10-second glimpse of where I'll get murdered.
Because
I always have to, like, open up my garage and then go, and it's, like, a manual garage. So I put that in. I put my car in. And, like, the second I get it, that's where I'm most vulnerable, I feel like. And I'm like, if anyone has studied me, this is where they know how to do
Somebody
it.
Somebody runs in. Yeah.
And it's, like, really dark back there. Yeah. I have neighbors, but I'm like, this could easily be a way to kill me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And then once I get into my apartment, there are, like, a couple areas that I'm aware of, but I close my bedroom door, which mentally I immediately lock out. Because then I'm, like, in a weird – this sounds so overthought. But I have a living room with all my most valuable things in it. So I'm like, here are my valuable things.
Right.
Don't come into this door. We're on a truce is in my brain.
Yeah.
Like, when I'm asleep and someone breaks in over there, they grab – I always just assume – If someone wants me murdered, they'll do it.
Yeah.
But it's more like I want to avoid the accidental murders of like someone's breaking in and then they freak out and kill me because they think, you know.
You can have my stuff. Just don't take your virginity.
Exactly. I fear I have the same garage fear, but not with getting murdered. Uh-huh. I have a fear that there will be a mountain lion or a bobcat in my garage that they will pounce on me.
Yeah.
In particular, the bobcat, because what happened pretty recently was we had those that like brief period of downpour rains, you know?
Yes.
And so there are these panels, these little wood panels at the top of my garage that would keep like animals from getting in. Like, you know, it's the same as yours. Like it's a manual like sliding garage door. And then there's just a, you know, like you can't see it at home, but like maybe like a foot or a foot and a half of like of paneling that goes along the top ridge of the garage. And one of them fell out and now a cat sleeps on top of my car every single night.
Wait, a bobcat?
No, just a regular cat.
Oh. A giant lion.
I don't know why I have this fear.
It's very friendly. I feed it hamburger.
Can't feed a lion hamburger.
He's very friendly.
That's true. He is pretty friendly. So every time I open that garage, I think that a bobcat is going to pounce out. Basically the bobcat thinks this is its only way of exiting.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
and
so then it got its way in.
Then it'll just like latch onto my face.
Yeah, that's really scary.
Yeah, that's a horrifying one. Terrifying thing. I live alone. And
we all do.
I actually feel okay.
Guys, maybe by the end of this, we all end up moving in together.
Oh, that'd be fun.
And then we're never scared again.
Just the three of us and a bobcat.
And then we have a podcast about that.
Yeah. The Bobcat Podcast.
Bobcast?
Bobcast.
So I live in like a small building with just like 8 units and the doors are all, you know, to the outside. But I have neighbors who used to live in my apartment that now live upstairs that I'm very good friends with. And so because of that, I don't actually feel nervous for
some
reason. I've been more scared about about break-ins when I've lived with a roommate than when I live alone. For some reason, yeah, I feel like a sense of security. And if they're out of town, then I'm terrified.
It's so interesting.
Right. Yeah, it seems like if I scream or something, I'll have help instantly, you know, or, you know, they're aware that I'm around or something.
But we all, it seems, I mean, that's the most, like, sensical sense of security in my, the way I hear it. Because I feel like we all come up with ways to be like, well, now I've made myself feel safe even when that doesn't do it at all. Like, the way that I close that door or whatever, and then I think that makes it safe. But that feels like real. Like, oh, yeah, you have two people up there that know you and, like, know your routine.
I guess kind of, but I did have...
also might be the ones that murder you, but that's fine.
There's, like, a sliding glass door in my bedroom, and it just goes, you know, on the other side of the building, there's just, like, a little walkway to the back of the car, where the parking is, and there's no gate or fence or anything. Yeah. And my bedroom window is a sliding glass door, and so, you know, it's locked and stuff, but I woke up, like, early one morning and, like, heard commotion outside of my window and kind of peeked, and there was a man there, and he looked like a homeless man, sort of, like, with all of his stuff just rooting around in his stuff. But I stupidly, like, went around the other side and was like, hey, what are you doing here?
Oh, my God. You are a hero. You're a superhero.
But I didn't think about it. I should have just immediately called the police, but I didn't. I, for some reason, went around the side, and then he was just like a drunk homeless guy.
You're a vigilante.
And I told him he had to leave, and I called the police, and then he was gone by the time the police got there. But he had left all of his stuff.
Huh.
And the police told me that they were not able to move his stuff because it was private property.
Oh, really?
Oh my God.
I could do it, but I'm like, I'm not touching the shit.
Yeah.
And then I had to leave, and I came back home, and it was gone.
He came and got it. That's crazy. Okay. Yeah. This is so crazy because I have a very similar story where I acted the exact opposite, most cowardly way.
Like, the way that you were like... That's not the smart way, because, well, I could have been harmed.
I don't know. Maybe. But it's so crazy, because, like, I have this garage that has haunted me for so many reasons. Mm-hmm. Similarly, I didn't have a lock on it. So one morning, I went and it would be like a little latch. So one morning, it was like 8 a.m., and there was a band locking it on the other side, like a little sweatband, making sure I couldn't go in. Mm. And I was like, oh God, there's someone in there. And then I just, like, started screaming, like, out of, like, fear of, like, I live here. And I was like, I don't want you to be worried and all that stuff. And then, like, I slowly went, like, there and opened it. There was, like, a ball. Like, there was a whole setup system for a warning that someone was going to come in, but there was no person in there.
Whoa.
And then I found out that my neighbor...
How did you know that was a warning? I wouldn't have thought about that.
There was, like, that sweatband thing. And then it was very weird to explain, but when I opened, there's a door to the thing, too. So I tried opening. When I opened the door, a, like, ball moved.
Whoa.
So it was like a way of telling, like, if the guy was sleeping. And then it was clear that the guy was in there, living there for who knows how long during the... like the rains and stuff, just at night, and doing his laundry in there. Like, he had a whole laundry set up because my washer and dryer in there. Found out later that my neighbor was, like, manly enough and, like, strong enough to go in and tell him to leave. I was, like, really too scared to even go in.
No, that's really scary. Yeah, but, you're supposed to.
Yeah. But the way I heard about it from,
I feel like that is, you did the right thing.
But it sounds like maybe it was the same guy.
Yeah, maybe it was the same guy.
We're in the neighborhood. Same guy. Yeah. When was this?
This was like a year ago.
Yeah, this
and you
was
guys
about
are neighbors. We figured out that you guys are neighbors. He might have moved from Jenny's.
Because they're, you know, in our neighborhood, there is, like, that big, you know, all of a sudden push to get homeless people out of Hollywood, and they're sort of moving. There's all these tent cities now, like, kind of near our neighborhood.
Yeah, it is.
They clearly have, like, a routine and know how to do it.
Yeah, so. But I also feel like those people just are finding a place to sleep. Yeah. Like, and I'm not afraid of a homeless person unless they're seemingly crazy.
Yeah, right. Exactly. That's what it's just always worried about the accident happening.
Yeah.
You're right. I don't think that guy wants to kill. And then I'm like, oh, is he got me on drugs and think that I'm trying to kill him? And
I'm crazy. So is that what you think about most in terms of avoiding death? Is a home invasion?
Home invasion. Then just street collisions of sorts and, like, just accidents in all ways.
Oh.
But, like, still, like, another heat. Like, again, this is the embarrassing side of the story, but, like, if I'm, like, walking around and it's dark, I can just imagine something bad happening to me. And there's the fake phone call you do when you think you're, like, making it seem like, oh, if you're on a phone call, then someone will think that they can't do something. But that's, like, the worst. Yeah. It doesn't mean anything.
That's actually when people get robbed the most.
They'll just grab your phone and run.
Yeah. And then there was one time, it was, like, 3 a.m., so it was at least late in our neighborhood.
Yeah.
And it was dark and I was walking home. And... my bright idea, because I was like, this is scary. I have 10 minutes to get home. And I ran in the middle of the street. because it was like there's where streetlights are as opposed to like on the sidewalk where it's dark. And then everyone's like, that is so much more dangerous. You would get hit by a car so much easier.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, I was like in my brain, I had it fully figured out. And when I told that story to someone, they're like, you are an idiot. That's what I was totally running into death in your attempt to avoid it. Like, but I really was more comfortable that way.
I've done the same.
Yeah.
Also to avoid like, you know, sometimes late at night you'll see like, somewhat large animals scurry under like cars and stuff.
Yeah.
I have this huge fear that one will like just is running out from under a car like right by me. And then a similar kind of thing, like it just gets scared because, you know, when you're talking about like getting murdered by accident or killed by accident, that's typically what happens is like that person is afraid of you in the same way that you're afraid of them. And then they act on it in a way that like all of a sudden they like, you know, stab you in the gut or something.
Yeah.
It's insane.
It's a fight or flight.
Yeah, it's
I know.
Such
when you, and when people talk about that, I feel like you're either a type of person who fights or flights in a smart way or flights in a crazy way.
I'm a
like, and there's nothing, is there anything you can do to like train yourself?
I think you can like, train yourself. Like, I mean,
Krav
I think that,
Maga?
Like, like, I think that you have to like think that you're going to win all the fights in order to get in any of the fights.
To be like, an idiot.
And that's my, that's the hard thing for me is that, because I at one point had thought like I should learn martial arts. And then I realized that, no, I have the sort of brain that no matter how trained I was, would always believe that the other guy was going to shoot or stab me.
Yeah, exactly.
And after the fight ended, I would still live in constant fear that they were going to come to my house and murder me.
Uh-huh.
See, actually, this reminds me. did you guys hear about mountain lion? Did you hear about the mountain lion that went in? In Northern California, like walked into a lady's bedroom and snatched her dog.
Oh God.
Whoa.
Yeah, this happened.
How did
like,
he walk into her house?
So she had like a similar kind of a balcony. Is that what you have, like a balcony situation? Where are you on a second floor?
I'm on the first floor. Yeah.
Okay, so you had just have like a sliding door. Okay, so she had like the sliding door to a balcony. And she left it open because it was because it's nice out there and you want she just wanted to get some air in. And so at like 3 a.m, she heard her dog, like this very small dog, just making, you know, a murder like racket. And then all of a sudden the noise just stopped and she saw like the shadow of a large animal like walk into her bedroom and then all of a sudden like remove the and she thought it was her big her larger dog at first and no then the dog was just gone. There was like a little pool of blood at the doorway.
That's crazy. I mean, keep your doors closed.
Keep your doors closed.
Honestly,
don't
leave your fucking door open.
No.
Like number one rule, if you don't want to get killed or maimed,
close
your goddamn door.
Yeah. But in my bedroom, I tend to do the opposite thing that you do, but for a similar, but it's a similar sort of reason. Like I get that yours is sort of a contract between you and the robber that like I'm gonna stay in here and you do whatever sort
you
of
want
like,
out here. Like it's almost like putting a sign like take whatever you
exactly.
want.
Exactly. Do you
I'm
think that they recognize that?
We have an agreement and we've made like we've talked about this.
When I close the door
burglar.
When I close my bedroom door, every sound outside of the door I think is exactly that. Like
so
I think they're coming from
me.
So I need it open so that like
you're aware.
Yeah. Like I want to see a shadow.
Yeah, I don't like to be closed off either. I have to sleep with all door open.
For the similar reason and so opposite.
We take different approaches
just,
to not getting murdered.
It's like it exists out there. I don't want it in the room with me.
Mm-mm. What do you do to feel safe?
Oh, everything else?
Or
there's
to,
no other way.
Yeah.
I never feel safe beyond closing that door. But yeah, it is like that's I don't watch scary movies.
No.
Yeah. I just realized this is just a podcast to make sure I'm single forever. Like, there's nothing attractive about everything I'm saying.
That's what this podcast should be called, single forever. All of our horrible fears.
Yeah. Anyone going to think I'm a mate after hearing this? Like, oh, cool. He will run away when I'm being attacked. Very cool.
Start screaming.
I am his bait. Great. Like, take her. I would like to say I do think I maybe have a better animalistic instinct if I'm with someone.
Yeah, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I don't, I do think
protecting.
I'm more, I can protect.
Sure.
That's such a clear, obvious, yeah. Like, just footnote, I'm not the biggest coward in the world. Yet to be seen.
And what are your interests? For anyone listening.
Oh, my.
So what kind of women do you like to abandon in trouble?
You know what? I'm so unpicky in that regard. Any woman that I can abandon, just I'm desperate. You know,
could be a bobcat in the sack.
Bobcat in the streets, mountain lion in the sheets. So you would consider yourself something of a hypochondriac?
Yeah. Does that all line up with hypochondria? All the stuff we were just talking about?
I don't know. Well, hypochondria is technically just like illness. Getting sick or illness.
Yeah.
But
fearing that you're sick or in danger of. Dying.
I feel like that goes along with it. You know, if you have like a fear of death in terms of illness, it could also be in terms of getting burglarized.
Yeah.
Or
I think it's more hypo cowardice. Like it really is. It is such like in the vein of cowardly and shameful of that. But like the hypochondria stuff is interesting. I have a little bit of it, but I grew up with a dad who was a doctor. Mm-hmm.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. And that, you would, like, I feel
and
like that
Jew,
could go
right?
either
you guys
way.
Are, you're a Jew.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're
Jew.
Screwed.
All Jews.
But, like, he actually.
Yeah, we're a bunch of Jews
yeah,
here.
Jews here.
Fucking terrified.
Oh, my God.
Shaking.
Now that Madeline's out.
Yeah.
It's crazy as she's the most mishugana of all of us.
But so your dad is a doctor.
So my dad is a doctor, and I think he actually helped me from being the ultimate hypochondriac, because I think having someone that can, like, tell you nothing is wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then, like, almost to an extent where I was just like, I usually go the extreme where I'm like, oh, yeah, he is good at being like, look, you're the odds of crazy things that aren't real are just so slim.
Right.
Yeah.
And he's like, most of the time, it's so easy to tell when something's wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Especially like when doctors have been doing it for long enough, you walk into the office, they look at your face and they can say, you don't have cancer.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
you,
yeah.
You just don't, you know?
Yeah.
Would
I've
you
seen
go
it.
To him a lot when, like, when you were growing up?
I think like habitually as a kid, I think he would be the one in charge of that. And then I would, as I became an adult and like trying to own what being sick was, I would send an email and he'd be like, you're fine. Or I'd send an email and he's like, oh yeah, you can take antibiotics. If anything, maybe he's giving me antibiotics one too many times,
which is
what everyone's saying is the problem. But, you know, bacteria stuff, he is so – he actually – that's what scares me. It's like hypochondria goes in this other direction now because as a doctor, he's like, oh, but super bacteria is terrifying.
Yeah.
So it's
like
any time he thinks I have a bacterial infection, he's like – freaking get your
antibiotics
first. Immediately.
Yeah, right.
I had one.
And that's creating the problem, but he's also like, but at least now you won't die. And then, yes, in the future, there'll be these super bugs that everyone will die of.
Was he like good with you when you would be worried about something? Like,
I felt like he was a little dismissive, but maybe in the best of ways.
Yeah.
Like, my mom was the one who was like, would be the chicken soup mom.
Uh-huh.
And then my dad would be like, yeah, you drink fluids, you'll be fine.
Yeah.
It's really nothing.
What were you like most afraid of when you were a kid?
Similarly, getting murdered an intruder.
Oh.
Did you have a big fear of kidnappers?
A little bit.
I had a huge one.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Like every shadow I thought was, and I didn't think they were coming for me. I thought they were coming for my brother.
Oh, interesting.
Oh,
are you an older brother?
Yeah.
That's interesting. I think my older brother had that of me.
Did anything ever happen? Like when you both were kids, did you ever have, there was an attempt or anything?
I don't think so. Like, and I mean, still to this day, I mean, one of the reasons that I smoke a pretty decent amount of weed at night, one of the main reasons is because I have like most, predominantly I have nightmares about my brother getting murdered.
Really?
If I don't turn off my dreams altogether. Yeah.
Damn, I wonder what that comes from.
Well, I mean, I want to murder my brother.
Maybe. You're not afraid of it. You actually hope it happens.
I'm afraid of being the murderer. I have the opposite fear
of
you.
You're afraid of the monster inside yourself.
Yeah. Look, people just, like, I hole up in, like, a garage. I'm just trying to do my laundry. People keep bothering me.
I have all kinds of plans pinned up on the wall.
Drain the swamp.
I think it was just murder fears always.
Babies.
And, like, similarly, you say, like, I have very visceral memories of where I would look at in my bathroom, because I could see the bathroom from my bed, and that's where I imagined someone would break in from, and I would always just imagine a shadow coming from there and all that, and that's where I was like, that was the scary door always.
Oh, yeah.
And I would sleep... I would sleep in my brother's room a lot because I would be like a little scared and I would go and sleep in his room.
Yeah.
And we shared a room for like 1 year. Other than that, I had my own room. And so I was like, yeah. Oh.
Do you feel like that translates internally, like being afraid of people entering your psyche or getting inside of you emotionally?
I need to cancel my therapist session in 5 hours. Just a little Jenny time.
Yeah. I feel like fears, you know, come from something internal that we're afraid of, of ourselves or something else. We're projecting.
I just wonder. It's not deeper. No.
Well, it's something about safety, right? Your own safety and keeping yourself safe. And I don't know. Do you feel like that is real, or am I just
crazy? Very possible? And also, it's like the irony of being alone a little bit. It's like that fear is keeping you alone rather than keeping you from finding someone to like share and not feel scared or something.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it feels to me largely that it has to do like that some of the fears that you're talking about, which I share, at least on my end, they come from a giant fear of being misunderstood, and that there's a spectrum to that. Like that, I'm not crazy about dogs, and the reason is because if a dog is angry at me, I don't know what I would do to get it to calm down. You know, like the idea that you like
because it's an animal.
Yeah, it's an animal that doesn't speak my language, or kind of what you were talking about, like a situation on the street where like this person doesn't really want to kill you. It's just that circumstances have now dictated that like this person feels up against the wall, and it's their only way out. That like the idea that I could not communicate myself, like because I consider myself a docile person, but two, like, and this is the more important one. Like I consider myself someone of positive intentions, that I wouldn't want to hurt anyone. But if you didn't understand that, if you just saw me and you were like, oh, that guy's big and maybe he's scary, and now I have these sort of like combative feelings towards him, that like
he's wielding a knife, he's my older brother.
My older brother's trying to kidnap me.
Well, that's like you're feeling out of control of the situation. You don't know that you'll be able to be in control of a situation, and something bad could happen because
and
of
misinterpreted,
that.
Misinterpreted, like,
why do you think you would be misinterpreted? What about you could possibly, in your scenario?
I think, most of these scenarios are sort of like I was saying. It's like a stranger who just feels like they're backed into a corner, and that they're not necessarily thinking logically. But the other fear is that, like,
This is like a home invasion scenario, specifically. Or this
could
isn't
be.
Just somebody
or like
approaching
on a street,
you on the street.
You know, like, there was, like, a few months back, or maybe it was more than a few months back, there was, like, a guy who, at least peripheral to our community, who, like, accidentally brushed up against someone walking through a crowd outside of a club, and they like beat the guy like nearly to death. Like it was just like, because that's one of the things about being a guy is that especially like a guy my size, there might be a misinterpretation that that I might look like I'm tougher than I truly am, and the fear is that someone would think that like I had any sort of intentions towards maybe you sneeze and you look funny, and then somebody's like, why'd that guy look at me the way he? There's so many possibilities that are like outside of your logical control, that like if you didn't feel like you could be like, all right, let's like stop for a second and talk this thing through, that like in an instant something really bad, violent.
Fear of being misinterpreted.
There's also like there is a maybe, I don't know, like aggression to people that want to fight and want to find someone that wants to fight them. Yeah. So I always course correct and make it so clearly that I don't want to fight. That's so embarrassing that it's like embarrassing to them even. They're like, I would feel shitty beating up this person. Like I've been approached multiple times, it feels like, just to see if they can get someone to fight back. And I'm like so in the opposite direction that they're like, uninterested.
Like at a bar? What's the happen?
Like definitely have been like walked up to on a street being like, what the fuck did you say to me? And I like hadn't said anything. Yeah. So they clearly wanted me to say even anything that was like, dude, like, you know, just anything close to aggressive back. And I would go so far in the other direction.
Oh, that's like your worst fear.
Yeah.
That approached you, essentially. Yeah. What
Joe
did you
Saunders
do?
And I got approached one time, and that's like the two. Oh,
yes.
Yeah, we're like walking on the street, and we were like, so quickly beyond like wanting to back away, but also could tell like which one of us is going to turn on the other and be like, even though we didn't say anything, like, oh, he did. Like, who's going to bail on the other one?
What ended up happening?
We
How do you
just
get out?
Like,
of
got it. Across. We were like, and we like crossed the street and like just Yikes. Pretended as if we were like, what? Like, we didn't say anything and like kind of walked away.
Well, I mean, this is interesting.
And, like, he followed us for a little bit. Yeah. But like the fact that we were so clearly wanted to run away, it just became uninteresting to them.
Yeah.
Oh.
You
know? I mean, this is interesting to hear sort of tales of male unwanted male aggression against males.
Yeah.
You know,
true.
Because obviously as
That's
a woman,
the only way it ever happens.
This is how it is at all times. But it is in a different, it's different.
Yeah.
And this is different. You know, I don't get approached with somebody wanting to fight.
No.
You know, and so it is, you know, you're not both guys who are interested in being aggressive or fighting.
We're
the opposite. How do you, because as a woman, I have my own ways of getting out around those confrontations or whatever.
Like what?
But,
like what would your be? What would your instinct be if someone came up to you like?
I mean,
aggressively.
Well, it doesn't happen in the same way because with me it's not wanting to fight; it's wanting to fuck. Right?
Yeah, you want to fuck, and they just
it's a much different type of aggression.
that is
it is much scarier.
Much scarier in many ways.
Right, but I mean, you know, we develop ways of walking away or doing the same thing that you said, just being very small and quiet and amenable in order to get out of a situation.
Is that a thing that you've developed just from experience, or are there like actual like tips where you're like, oh, this works better than being like, because I could also imagine that it's coming from a different place and a guy that's like being aggressive like that, if a girl was like, no, like fucking like hardcore, if that's a scary way, like they just get more aggressive or not.
Well, yeah, I mean, like that happened more when I was like, you know, in college or like in my early 20s, you know, when you're out.
Yeah.
Like, and that these scenarios usually happen when we're out at night, right? At bars and stuff like that. And people are drunk.
Things.
It doesn't often just sort of be, you're not approached just randomly on the street. Yeah, it's like a nighttime is the right time for aggression.
It really is true. There's nowhere in Los Angeles that isn't terrifying at night. Isn't that true?
Yeah. Like But for me, when I was like in college, I was a maniac and sort of unafraid, I suppose, which is so stupid, which is what is terrifying to me about like friends having children that are teens and stuff, because you're just unafraid.
Mm-hmm.
And in every situation I can think of, I would sort of get mad at a guy for doing something or for being rude to me or whatever it was, and it would escalate. But then I would like attack first, or like I remember jumping on a guy
because
he was like stealing stuff from our apartment, and
But
then in every scenario, like there was other men that would and intervene and like kick him out, so
like
I wasn't like physically
were,
being like attacked or something, or there was like a scenario happening, but it did not escalate because of other people like intervening that were bigger and stronger
than
me.
That's scary, though.
What about?
I should never. I feel
also,
bad complaining
you know,
about. I don't want to equate. It is worse being a woman.
Oh,
I want to
sure.
make sure
no,
that's true.
No. That's not. And that's not what I'm trying
good.
To say.
Just that it's
put it
that you're
just that there's a lot of like aggression in the world, and people who want to express that aggression, and then how do we cope with that for people that don't want to like?
And mine is running. But if I'm with a, I would protect a. I would stand up if a woman was being.
Okay, well let's try then.
The woman?
Jenny's gonna attack Ben.
I'm gonna
stand
attack
up
you.
And protect Ben.
But then on smaller accounts too, like the microaggressions, if you will, which I'm sure happened to you as well, especially in bars or something. Yeah, like if you brush up against somebody that's not maybe ready to fight but is being rude or something, you have to kind of handle that too.
Mm-hmm. What about like? Yeah. Have you ever had have other females ever like approached you in that way that sort of we were describing, like, you know, where someone they're just drunk and they kind of want to fight?
Not that I can recall.
Yeah, it probably doesn't happen nearly as much.
Ben got really aroused for a second. He's like, just any version of that?
Just make something up.
At what price did your balls unhook?
What were you wearing when it happened?
Did you have jersey access? Just curious. No, I don't think I have that. I do have girlfriends that happens to, and that's, I feel like, just a weird... intuitive thing. I don't really have a personality that women are need to feel aggressive with. I've just never had that problem with other women before, and that I think is just my demeanor.
Yeah,
I feel, you know, that's just a demeanor thing. That's
I think
all.
So. Have either of you ever been in a fight? I've been real
jumped.
Fight? You've been jumped?
I'm constantly not fighting back. Like every story of a fight I've been in has just been me running away or getting punched and then running away. Like,
wow.
Then the getting jumped is, again, the same kind of thing as like guys wanting you to fight back. And right. like very clearly.
What was the situation?
Yeah.
It's like a very weird like movie version of one of those things. Because I was in Hawaii with some friends.
Yeah.
And they warned, like our dad warned us, like my friend's dad warned us, our collective dad. Like, don't walk around the beaches at night because there's like gangs of like locals.
Oh,
and
yeah.
that are like,
Hawaiians
this is our turf.
Are super territorial.
And it like sounded silly because like Hawaii is so resort like. Mm-hmm. We didn't really understand that. Mm-hmm. We, of course, got drunk. We were like 20 and walked up and down the beach. And some guy came out of it was five of us. So only one guy came out of the brush or something, be like, what's going on? And we knew that was not good. So even though it was one guy, we were like, oh, let's just keep walking. But I have a friend who's like the most innocent, thinks everyone's the nicest.
Oh,
he was like, oh, nothing. We're just hanging out on the beach and like wanted to get to know the guy.
Yeah.
And we're like, Ben, let's go. And it was Ben. And then the second he walked up to the guy, he got him in a headlock. The second he got close, he got him in a headlock. And four other guys rushed out of the brush. Like, so like, and the most embarrassing part of the story is like, of the four guys, the tiny one went after me. Like the guy, they clearly had picked out everyone. And I was like he was literally like 5'4". Like he was literally a smaller like person. And like, they clearly were like, okay, he's like, I want that guy. And I immediately got punched in the back of the head. Everyone got kind of hit. But then the second I got up, it was just us like drunk and dazed. And I was like, run!
Oh my God. You scream.
I'm a screamer.
When confronted, you're a screamer.
And, like, it's so embarrassing. Like, I shouldn't even say that. But, like, then all my friends were like, I think you helped save us. Because, like, the fact that I screamed that, like, they were so uninterested in just cowards. Like, they wanted us to fight back.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
And, like, the fact that we were, like, submitting and running, they just didn't. They were like, oh, we picked the wrong guy.
Yeah.
So, like, I didn't want to get in a fight. Like, it was, like, scary enough we were drunk.
They're one of our,
the ocean. Like, I was like, someone could drown. It was just, like, all the fears we're able to cycle through in such a quick amount of time.
There's like a million things that can go really, really wrong in a fist fight between two people who don't know how to fight.
Yes.
You know, because that's the thing is that majority, like there was a kid, he didn't go to my school, but he went to the school a town over from me. My senior year of high school, he went to the same high school, probably the same year as Josh Weiner. Because we're from the same, and we're the same age from the same.
Everything
from, like,
makes sense.
Yeah. We're going to address that in a second, but he like a kid. There was just two kids in a fist fight. One of them like threw an uppercut. It hit the kid in his nose, and that thing where like the bone goes into your brain. And that kid and the kid who got punched went into a coma and died like a few months later.
Christ.
And like just that because kind of like stuff. Two people they didn't know how to fight. Like these weren't pugilists. You know, like these were just guys that were angry enough at each other to like want to do physical damage.
Yes.
And bad things can happen. Like it's I think we've been trained to believe that that like running away from a fight is a cowardice thing to do by people that win fights.
Yes.
But that everyone else knows like
right.
no, like what you do is you avoid violence at all costs because it's pretty unpredictable.
It's terrible.
And there's most there's like times when I guess you do have to stand up and figure it out, but like it was to an extent where it was like, okay, I got up and I was like made sure I could collect my friends before running. It was like that was the most aggressive I was going to get. To be able to be like, okay, are they all free now? And then it's like, let's sprint.
I think
I wasn't gonna like fully abandon one person, but I was like, oh, okay, everyone's good.
Run.
Let's run.
Everyone's okay to run.
I was like,
run.
A mom counting her kids, like 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, great, let's run.
That probably is the bravest thing that you can do.
Yeah.
I mean, like the most cowardice.
Like a broken arm.
Yeah.
Something.
What's the most injured you've ever been? You seem like a guy who really wants to avoid injuries, avoid pain and death, like me, like Jenny.
Yeah.
I've handled my injuries with as much grace as I've displayed so far. I scream. And I've broken my leg and I've like had my lip split open.
Oh.
And it was all baseball related.
I had a baseball one too.
Baseball ends up being the most dangerous. I played soccer and baseball and I was like an athlete through high school. Despite all my soundings of like not being able to do anything, I was a decent athlete. Mm-hmm. But I played at a much higher level of soccer than baseball, but yet baseball just like destroyed me. Mm-hmm. And
just like your body?
Yeah, somehow just the way that sport is played, it's not like high impact all the time, but just like it's easier. Like basically
The most embarrassing injury was the lip split open, because that one was...
How does that happen?
Yeah, I was in the batter's box, and I was squaring to bunt, and the ball was coming at my face, and the next thing I remember, I was on the ground. And so because I got disoriented, this is when the not handling it great... Like, this is a very famous story amongst the people on the team. Like, this is, like, hilariously embarrassing.
David Phillips.
I came to and immediately saw blood, and I just stood up, started running around screaming. That was my reaction wasn't laying down and, like, wait for someone to come get me. It was stand up and run around blurry and screaming at the top of my lungs. And
like
at one
lose
point,
your mind.
Yeah, lose your mind.
What did you think in your head? What's going on?
I literally just don't know.
Just like chaos.
It was like
this
insanity.
Yeah. Like, you're going insane. And like there were,
I
you
have
know
the same
those,
story.
I don't know how well you know those like fields, but there's the parents on each side of like the little stands. You know, like there's like five little bleacher benches, and I immediately like ran to them for some reason out of instinct and screamed with blood on my hands. In their faces, like just staring at them until my coach came and tackled me. And then, like, I thought I had lost a tooth.
Did you think you were dying, in your head? Yeah.
I thought, the amount of blood I saw, I thought that, like, my eye could have been at, like, I thought it was just, like, bloody murder. Like, my face was destroyed.
Yeah.
And then my coach tried to calm me down. I thought I had lost my teeth. And then he was like, it's fine, it's fine. And then by the time I was calm, then I was told, like, it was actually disgusting. Like, my entire lip had split open and everything. But, like, I handled it at the worst, like, maximum level you could possibly
I
handle an injury
like that. I hope
that
when you're, like, 95, dying of old age, that's exactly how you go out. Just screaming at full volume.
Running into circles.
Like, grabbing people by the face.
Just let him run around in circles. He's going to tucker himself out.
He'll be dead in a second.
That would be very funny.
When I was playing Little League,
it's like a very peaceful, like I am dying in bed and then just like standing up.
Your
family that's my final
is
breath.
Around you.
When I was playing Little League, I was next up to bat, and the kid who had just gotten out ahead of me told me it was my turn. And so I reached down to pick up a batting helmet, and he tossed me his batting helmet, and the front rim of it hit me in the teeth, and it did. It shattered my front teeth.
Oh,
so these
Jesus.
These two, they shattered, and I like went to hold my mouth, and I saw the blood, and I saw the crumbling teeth, and I did literally the exact
really?
Same thing that you
that
did. Only I added, "My life is over" at the top of my lungs. So running around screaming at the top of my lungs, my dad had to come and round me up and take me to the car.
Yeah.
And we couldn't even go to the dentist immediately after because I was in too much hysterics.
That
this is
so funny.
This is you guys are dramatic.
Very
we are meant for the theater.
Yeah, exactly.
That was the day I realized I would be a thespian.
I have a question. I know you want to get. It looks like you're wanting to get to something.
Oh no, you're good.
Okay. You're doing as a guest host. Question. Really great.
Mm-hmm. Oh hey,
you're mind. You're mindful of getting to things.
Yes.
I mean, this is your first time. I can't even believe it.
Oh my god.
I'm shitting the bed over here.
Thank you. I told you I'm taking it over. It's all just because I'm not wearing headphones.
That's right. Yeah, yeah.
Oh sure. Yeah. Should people know?
That's what it does.
My headphones.
I think that just because I really like talking about this topic, it's something I feel really comfortable talking about. It's fears, anxieties, death.
Yeah.
It's like a little therapy session. And I like that. But my question is, aside from like shutting your bedroom door, how do you cope with your various fears of dying or being attacked, or how do you cope in your daily life?
My daily life
is that is a pro-level question.
Thank
yeah,
you.
That is a very pro-level
thank you. I'm
question.
Curious because I would like to know.
My other ways.
I need help. This is a call for help.
Do you have those ways? Like when you're at, do you actually have those? Because I could use some as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like we were talking about that last time, and that was what was interesting, you know, especially like Madeline, Ben talking about and me talking about various anxieties that we have about things. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times it seems really overwhelming and like you can't even I don't know how you handle that like
yes.
You know, you're being afraid of someone home invading you enough that you shut your bedroom door every day is like very scary. Like that seems overwhelming. There has to, you know, it's like I was saying, like therapy, we were talking earlier, I just, you know, started going to therapy and that's helpful.
And
Madeline was talking about like a visual meditation thing she does that helps her like sort of cope in those moments of true terror. Because we're all wanting to heal.
We're all trying to heal here.
Get through this world.
We're all trying to fix some shit so we can end this goddamn podcast.
Yeah, we can go out with a whimper.
Oh, yeah, it is kind of weird. Like, and a bang when we've been shot with a gun.
Yeah, is the point of this podcast for us to die?
Like, so we don't have... but to feel comfortable with it.
I've been drinking what looks like a hibiscus tea, which is in fact a Kool-Aid.
Exactly. Don't drink that definitely dying Kool-Aid.
Sneakers and white jumpsuit. Oh wow!
Yeah. These walls symbolize insanity for a reason.
So you started going to therapy.
I started going to therapy, and what's funny is like I haven't even touched upon this kind of stuff in therapy yet. It was all for like the main like level anxiety stuff in the world, and not death related. Yeah. And in a weird way, I think I don't bring it up because it sounds so much more serious than I want it to. Because I'm like, oh, thinking about like that's something that you just analyze to death in therapy that I'm like almost scared to be like, ugh, if I bring this up, then like we're going to just waste all my time talking about it. When I'm like, oh, I want to talk about why I'm, you know, having problems finding a girlfriend, which is probably related.
That's all the deep stuff that you'll dig
and,
up like, and get
family
to,
stuff but... and, you know, all that other stuff, what gives you stress. But like, it is interesting. Like, I wonder, now that I, like, that is a question that's making me think about all the things that I do to avoid... Mm-hmm.
That's what like we were talking about
feeling
earlier.
About scared and all that stuff. And I have such a simple routine of it that I'm like not aware of it as much anymore.
Yeah.
Like the going to bed and closing the door and stuff. And I wonder like what else illness wise, like I generally don't think that I'm gonna get like some bad disease or whatever or something like that when I get sick, I don't think I'm immediately gonna die. So that's helpful.
I get that. That's what I have. That's
me too.
Yeah, I don't have the like feeling of like, oh, I have a cold. Oh. This could be cancer, kind of thing.
Yeah, yeah. That's good.
Why don't we play a little game to determine just how fearful of death we truly are? And I took the quiz already. I'll let you know in advance. I got 2/3 fearful of death. Madeline got I think 44%, and I'll read what that means. This quiz. Let me start by saying
now if Jenny gets higher than Madeline, does that mean she takes over the podcast?
She takes over Madeline's seat. I've already proven how afraid I am.
If Jenny gets lower than Madeline, she also takes over. Okay, so this quiz is called "How much are you afraid of death?" Question mark, and then afterwards, parenthetically, accurate exclamation point. However,
how did you find
a moron?
How did you find this?
I just type in different things that interest me, and then put quiz at the end, and usually you can find something that was written by a moron. So anyway, what he says is, death is a word that can mean two things: the end or the beginning. How a person views death usually affects how a person reacts to it. Fear it, or embrace it as a part of life. Parenthetically, the last part, exclamation point. He's given us a lot of his own opinions.
I would love it if this were like a PhD at Stanford.
He says, where do you stand? Take this quiz and find out, parenthetically, hopefully. He says, the fear of death is known as thantophobia. How much thantophobia do you have? That's not how you would use thantophobia in a sentence. You can't say how much thantophobia you have. Now, I know the quiz name says accurate, but let's face it, you can't get 100% accuracy, just the rough idea of where you stand. So maybe don't tell us that your quiz is accurate then in the first place so that you don't have to.
I mean, you're really undercutting this guy's quiz. Yeah. I feel like you should be building it
We need a real answer.
If he hadn't put all these parentheticals in there, I wouldn't have mentioned it, but he did. So okay, for starters, what is your age? Are you both in your 30s?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
So there we go.
Do we want to get specific?
Okay. So
David
is a male.
Barely.
Not direct. Which direction?
Yeah. Do you mean negative 30?
To this guy, death is either an end or a beginning. Maybe a negative 30 in his
quiz. Yeah. I'm a little baby.
I haven't been born yet.
Okay. So question number one. When you talk about death, how do you feel? A, oh, please don't even mention that word. B, I can talk about it for a few minutes, but I can't stand it and usually avoid talking about it. C, I used to avoid that topic. Now I don't mind talking about it. Or D,
nothing. I don't feel anything and talk just like normal, or I haven't talked about death yet. That's already a dumb option.
Yeah.
But so which would you fall in of the four?
It would be in between the third and fourth. Or the wait, not the last one, but the last
second
two
and the third.
Sound right.
I can talk about it for a few minutes, or I used to avoid the topic. Now I don't mind talking about it.
Oh, there's no just I guess I don't remember. I used to avoid the topic. I don't know why that's
is there
like
one that's
disclaimer.
Like you talk
like,
about,
I talk
it,
about
all
it all
the
time?
Yeah, so the last one, like nothing I talk about it like normal.
Oh.
Yeah, nothing I talk about it like normal. Probably.
Okay.
Yeah, me too.
Okay.
Nothing. I talk about it like normal.
Next question.
Dead inside.
Have you ever had a feeling that you should do everything possible to avoid death? A, yeah, like all the time. B, something like that. Yeah. C, sort of, maybe once or twice.
Is
that a good answer? Is there a,
too specific.
He's having fun with his like answer.
You yeah. guys didn't take this nearly seriously.
He's quantifying them at the end.
Oh, he finds
he's
a way.
Like
he really
coy.
Finds a way. Yeah, he's very
like,
coy.
I feel like he's like, sort of.
He's very coy for someone who's going to give you an exact answer at
nothing.
The end.
I'll talk about it. What do you want to talk about?
He's like, wants to talk about it, and he's like, in the answers, I don't want to say.
And then number four is.
Do you want to unhook my bra?
No, never, or I don't know. In terms of, do you do everything to avoid death? No, I don't, or I don't know. It's a bad quiz.
Yeah, the earlier section sounded right to me. Not like all the time, but what was the next
one? Something like that, yeah, or sort of, maybe once or twice.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you guys are on the
we're
same
right page. On the same
yeah.
page.
We're gonna die together.
Yeah.
Screaming in our family's face.
Okay, next question.
Or I'll scream for you, it sounds like.
No, you'll these scream have... for me. I'll be like sobbing.
These have the exact same answers as the last one. I'll read them if you want. But have you ever felt anxious when crossing the roads? We know this one. We've already answered this one. Yes, I'm afraid of getting hit by a car. Sometimes when it's busy, maybe once or twice. No, never, or I don't understand.
This is an interesting one because I
understand.
Actually only just recently started having that fear of walking on the sidewalk and being like, why are we not scared of cars just hitting us when we're on the sidewalk?
Yeah.
They're going by so fast all the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And like it just feels like one car needs to like swerve accidentally and then like
yeah.
So
you don't have any control
sometimes
over
when
it.
It's busy.
Yeah,
I don't have fear sometimes of cars, but I do all of a sudden the last year terrified of airplanes.
Oh yeah,
because
oh, wow,
that's an insane concept.
Are you taking drugs to get through it, or is it
I
just
want
starting?
To be because I just started being scared of it, and now like I even just took an hour-long flight and was like losing my shit.
During or right before?
Because turbulence.
Turbulence, yeah.
It's only scary. Turbulence. I'm fine otherwise, but the turbulence, like, it is giving me conniption, and people have been talking about taking a Xanax on it, and I want to get on that train.
Yeah, that sounds like a good...
Yeah.
You want to get on that train to get on that plane?
Yeah.
I do the thing that I think is, like, very common, or maybe this sounds crazy, but I do the thing where I just accept that I'm going to... Like, I literally tell myself I'm going to die.
You're on the plane?
Oh,
before
wow.
Before the flight goes off.
Whoa.
I'm like, this is it. And then I'm like, I know that's crazy.
That's a big mental.
Maybe I should have brought that when you asked the other ways that I do it. But
I
like,
mean, accepting your own death.
Yeah, I don't think I fully am able to process it. And then again, I will scream once the thing starts happening.
Do you scream at every turbulence?
Yeah, every turbulence, I just grab the person next to me and scream in their face. But yes.
So are you? Would you be in sometimes when it's busy?
Oh,
on
the
this
traffic?
One?
Yeah,
the traffic.
I think so.
Okay.
No.
No. Okay.
I'm not afraid of.
So here's another one we talked about a little bit.
Newly afraid of traffic.
Do you have any difficulty in watching movies dealing with death, gore, etc.? I can't stand those movies. I avoid them as much as I can. That's you, right?
Bread and butter, baby.
That's you.
Yeah.
But like, so, I'm scary movies only.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I'm fine with dramas that deal with.
Yeah,
that.
Me too. Right.
Okay.
Same.
But
sometimes the movie gets
like
too
like
much
Evil
for me
Dead
to handle.
Or I can watch like Camp.
I can do
know,
camp a little
like
bit, but usually even they
stuff?
Do the jump out scares that bother me.
Oh, I don't like jump out scares either.
Oh, yeah.
That's the I can't. Yeah. I don't know if everyone's saying like go see Get Out, and I'm like I don't know if I can handle it. The only times I can handle it are when people are around in the morning.
Okay.
Then I can watch a scary movie because I can be on my phone or getting out. Like
I have the
I'm
same thing
really
with Get
attention.
Out, and I. Because of the social ramifications of not seeing it, I was like, I'm going to put up with my fear.
Yeah, you have. But is
and
people
I had
are
a friend who had the similar
scary.
Thing. They're a little lying in terms of what you think is. Like, I still find that, like, some of the jump outs were scary. And this is going to be embarrassing to me to say.
Out.
But you can deal with it if you do. I did a daytime. I was like, oh, this is. And it's not something that lingers with you scared.
Okay, right. Because
it's
not like
scary
a monster
in the moment.
Who's
yeah,
the thing.
Sorry,
okay.
Ben. I know you're going to get through the quiz.
Yeah.
Get out.
So either no, you don't ever watch them, like every once in a while, you watch them often, or you love them.
So no, I don't ever watch them.
I don't ever watch them.
I will do the thing where if like it's that great of a movie, I'll put up with it. But I've decided that I've prescribed myself like, oh, I'm better off never seeing
it. It scares the shit. I should have never even watched like that Denzel Washington airplane drunk pilot movie.
Interesting. I didn't even see that one.
Like, it's just too scary. It's because it's like a plane crash.
Yeah. The scary movies are what I think prompted all of this for me. I wonder if like I didn't see Event Horizon when I was like 7 years old, if I would ever have any of these fears.
Do you have a fear of fainting? Yeah, totally. That's almost like death. Sometimes, not all the time. Maybe once or twice, but not really. No, never, or I don't know.
No, never. I don't think I have a fear.
Sometimes. Okay.
Yeah. I used to get dizzy spells related to anxiety and would be afraid I was going to pass out, and that was scary to me.
Oh. That's like a cute little.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, a little. I'm a little scared of fainting.
Okay.
Your anxiety is.
Do you feel a mixture of guilt, anger, sadness, or hurt, any of those listed, when you think of or see death? Yes, all the time. Sometimes, yeah. What a weird question.
Yeah.
Once or twice or no, never.
Do you empathize with death is sort of the question?
Yeah. It's a weird.
Are you sad when people die?
Like guilt, anger, sadness, or hurt around. Does death make you think those feelings?
Yes.
It's such a bit of a strange
question.
Is this
like a question to see if you're a sociopath?
Yeah, it feels like it is. It feels like it is.
Would you be sad if I murdered your mom? Like,
oh. Because, should we say yes all the time?
Did you have to give your social security number to this guy when you?
This is me. This is my quiz. Which one are we going with? That one?
Yes.
Well, yes.
All the time.
Okay. Yeah. Or the next one. But yeah, it just seemed like a normal human.
Do you have problems going to funerals? Next question.
Problems.
Yes, I can't stand going sometimes if I don't know the person. Maybe once or twice if I just didn't want to go to the funeral, or no, never.
No, never, like, except for the obligation of if you really don't know the person, it makes me uncomfortable.
Yeah, that's such a difficult question because, like, yeah, who wants to go to, like, like, yay, we get to go to a funeral of someone I hardly know.
Yeah.
But I guess there are, like, some people who, don't even go for their, like, parents because they, like, can't stand
being there.
Oh, they
can't handle it. No. Yeah. The one where it says about the if I don't know them.
Okay.
Yeah. I probably would choose not to go.
Okay.
I don't know them,
Let's blast through these last three. Right. Let's get this quiz over with.
Yeah, not like some people who are like to be around grief even. Yeah. They like to wallow in it.
Yeah.
Even
right.
if they don't know
the
person, you know? That's what that question maybe reminds me of. Like,
my mom seems like that.
I feel like a large portion of our religion pretty okay with it.
Yeah, like be in the community.
Okay. Next question. Have you ever had a near-death experience? Yeah, plenty of times. Maybe once or twice. I don't think never.
Like
maybe once or twice always throws me.
Yeah, yeah. Also, like, are we what we think are near death experiences or like.
Yeah, probably you thought you were going to die. That's all we'll go with here.
I guess I technically did, but I don't remember because I was a baby.
Oh, right.
I had spinal meningitis I was 6 months old. And this is like, you know. In the 80s, but they didn't yet have like a cure for that. But my dad's family lives in Cleveland, and I was in Cleveland. We were there visiting them when I got it. And the Cleveland Children's Hospital is the best children's hospital in the country. Oh, wow. So they took me there and gave me an experimental medication, which is now like the medication that they use to like cure it 100%. So they gave me the experimental thing, but they basically told my mom she's going to die first. And so my mom thought I was going to die. And then they were like, okay, we think this is working, but she's gonna be retarded.
Oh no.
Like they told her I would have like brain dysfunction. Look at me now.
Wow. Are you saying like look at how retarded you're like
look at me now.
Yeah, you were right.
Yeah. I only have a little bit of a hearing loss in one of my ears.
Wow, okay. So, yeah, that's a...
But I guess that's kind of a near-death experience.
Yeah. You don't remember it, but still.
I don't but it's in my blood.
Yeah.
How many times did you, like, have you actually thought you were going to die?
Oh.
Either one of you.
I mean, a lot, I guess, because, like, anxiety. Yeah, I just thought I'm dead. This is it. A cancer, a tumor.
Okay.
Yeah,
I'm probably the number two on the spectrum.
Like, maybe once or twice?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because,
What's the one before that?
There's been
plenty of times.
Threw the word like in there for some reason. This guy's good at quizzes.
Yeah, like plenty of times.
Yeah, like plenty of times. Okay. Just two more quickies. Do you have a lot of dreams? Like a lot. This is in, that's his parenthetical in this one. Also, a lot is one word.
Cool.
About death or gore. Yes, for both. A lot of dreams of death, a lot of dreams of gore, or no, for either.
No, I have like sleep paralysis shit, and I wonder if that files
you
in that
way. Sleep paralysis?
That's like really fucked me up. But yeah. I'm getting better with that. That's like
you
the
wake
thing,
up and you're
like not a yeah, and then like it's like weird visions, like whatever your brain thinks is the scariest thing you see, and it's all like fake science about it. But
that feels like yes for both.
Yeah, because like I've had like the
I've never
like,
known anyone who actually had that.
It's,
that's
crazy,
terrifying.
And the more I talk about it, then the more I meet people that have had the same thing.
Yeah. You can't
it's
move.
Come up on the podcast.
Yeah,
before.
You like can't move. And then the one time I woke up at the foot of my bed, like I clearly like just came to and like was so scared I like hurt myself.
Oh,
but like it's either like I see like this really scary old woman. It's all out of scary movies, like where my brain.
Yeah.
Goes. So it's like a scary old woman or a scary little girl at the foot of my bed. Or
well,
next
those
to
are
bed.
Like Jungian archetypes.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know,
yeah,
those probably mean something yeah. in the scheme of your mm-hmm. unconscious.
And then the one that woke me up was like a crazy giant spider like coming at my face.
Oh, oh. Jesus. Yeah. That was just in a dream or that, that really was, happened in life.
In real life, a giant 10 foot by 10 foot spider. No. it was like not a real one, but it felt real. It's
yeah,
like
yeah.
that's the crazy
that's
thing.
So
it's
scary.
Like to get Yikes. The theory is that it's to get you to get out of this state that is unnatural.
Yeah.
Oh.
Like your brain does that. But I also wow. it is like so like
yeah,
adrenaline
sure.
pumping.
Yeah,
like,
that's
horrifying.
Really scary. Yeah.
All right.
So that goes in there.
That counts in there. Yeah.
That counts.
Yeah. What,
yeah,
what's yours
I've had lots of dreams about
okay.
death.
Okay, yeah. This is the last question on the quiz. It's insane that this is a question on the quiz. Question number 12. That's it. Thanks for taking the quiz. Hope you like it. And I apologize if the result is not accurate. And there are answers
yeah,
to this question.
Yeah, this like a really nice guy,
answers?
Though.
The answers are okay. B is no problem.
How do you deal with
C
it?
Is good quiz. And oh, D is I look forward to more of your quizzes.
I look forward
yeah,
to more.
Yeah, on that D.
Yeah.
Okay.
He seems like a caring individual, you
this
know.
This poor guy needs this.
He really yeah. needs it. All right. We're going to get your scores. Okay. David, you are 63% afraid of death.
Wow.
Oh my god, that's higher than I thought it would be.
Okay, you fear death a little more than normal. 63 is quite a high score, but that's okay. Usually people are afraid of death because of past incidents or simply since birth. It's normal, just don't get too carried away. Don't let the fear disrupt your daily lifestyle.
Thanks, dude. Yeah. What's his name? Thanks.
That's what David got. That's what.
That's not
oh, okay.
two. Is that what I got?
Jenny
too?
Got the
Jenny
same thing.
Jenny got 63% also. So I'm the highest.
We're getting
married. I got 67%. Madeline got 44%. Which
oh,
means...
I should host this
yeah,
podcast.
That was the show.
44 is not much. Not to worry. You are pretty much normal. It's okay to be afraid, just a little. A little is also one word. Don't let anything make you fear death a lot, though, because it will be difficult to let that fear go.
The last line
you're not
is
afraid
always
of
the...
death. Keep knocking thumbs up. Keep rocking thumbs up.
Yeah, keep rocking thumbs up. That's your other. That should be your sign off tag.
Keep rocking thumbs
keep rockin
up.
Keep rocking the thumbs up.
A little.
His parting words are all like, yeah, but don't think about death.
Yeah,
it's like,
yeah.
Like,
okay.
You're fine. You're fine.
Thanks for the quiz, buddy.
I think he's a nice guy. Yeah, you know, he's like, right. Hey, listen, you'll be okay. I'm just trying to help.
I just wish he was more confident in his quiz, which is clearly accurate. I don't know why he's all through all his parentheticals in there.
I've never.
Also, that's only a little bit higher than what you said at the beginning of the podcast.
Yeah, interesting. Should
and
I go up to six?
A little
so I guess
lower.
You're a six.
I had said seven, I believe.
So you guys are right in the middle.
Right
yeah.
there. Average it
you guys
out.
Are sixes.
Yeah.
And I'm close to a seven.
A
couple
sixes.
Of single sixes here couple if anyone's looking.
My phone number.
We're little babies and we're six.
So, David, before we wrap up, is there anything you'd like to plug?
Oh, God.
The podcast will come out in like a week and a half or something. So is
hopefully me currently alive
yeah,
while this
alive.
Podcast comes out, my living. What is there to plug?
Is
see Brooklyn
Nine-Nine.
It's on Fox Tuesdays. I think it's still going to be airing for another 4 weeks.
So okay, great.
On.
So this will be on.
And come check out my retired mod team, Oh Brother.
On the UCB show, maybe?
You know, 5 years ago at UCB Franklin. We
that's good.
Go back in
and,
time.
Yeah.
That Brian Savvy's a real hoot.
Oh, my God, Brian. He's so he's great.
Okay. I'll have the whole roast chicken, please.
Yeah, I'll plug Brian. Oh, you could have talked about bed bugs. That was another.
There was. We'll have to have you back to talk
yeah,
more.
Yeah, we'll talk about
talk
bed
about
bugs.
Bed bugs.
Yeah.
Well, thanks so much for joining us, David.
Guys,
it was a
thank
great
you.
Time.
Thanks, David.
Thank you, co-host.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Jenny. Thank you
man,
for co-hosting
you're
with
welcome.
Me. Madeline,
it's
so
been
honored.
My pleasure.
Madeline, your services are no longer needed in the community.
It would have been nice to hang out with Madeline, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no.
But
we
this
miss you,
was
Madeline.
A real
yeah.
pleasure.
It was a real pleasure. Yeah. Thank you. Thank you both. Mm-hmm.
This has been Definitely Dying. Thank you guys so much for listening.
Don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes, and you can follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Definitely Dying.
Until next time, stay healthy.
This has been a UCB Comedy production. Check out our other shows on the UCB Comedy Podcast Network.